This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. So on this episode, I'm going to recap some of the gems from the conversation with Joe Calamusa from the University of Alabama. Welcome to episode 599 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name again is Jason Cutter. Super excited that you're here. First off, a piece of business. If you didn't, make sure to catch out episodes 596, 597, and 598 for the three-part conversation I had with Mr. Joe Calamusa, again, from the University of Alabama. The titles of those episodes, Creating a More Authentic Buying Process, Winning with Science versus the Art in Sales, and Quality Controls Quantity in the Future of Sales. And so in this part, I want to share my thoughts and the things that he said, the things that stood out to me that I took notes on, where I think the value. This is your Cliff Notes Reader's Digest version of it. If you come here just for this, hopefully this will give you some of the gems and then encourage you to go back and listen to the parts that apply to you. I know that people are busy. There's a lot going on. I listen to podcasts at a high rate of speed. Sometimes I can't get to them for a while. So hopefully this will help you. Now, in the conversation, what's interesting with Joe is he is very much different than a lot of the other guests and professors and educators that I have on the program. He has his way of doing it, which comes from his experience in sales. And he's pretty confident in the way that he does things, but he's also different. We didn't really touch into it too much in the episode, but he's very much against the collegiate competitive mode, right? And doing competitions, having students get ready, prepare, go to competitions, and then be judged against other students by judges in competitions. And one of the challenges that he has with that is that it's very subjective. Even though they try to have a rubric, it's how did I feel like you did versus the rubric and how did you do? And there's too many different things. And it's also not a good preparation for full-on sales, in his opinion. Again, this is my recap and summary of conversation I had with him, not necessarily his exact words. But, you know, for him, he's focused on the art of science, but also making it as objective as possible and not subjective in a way that things are graded or things that are scored, and then also obviously preparing people to be successful. And so he's very much in a different camp than a lot of other universities and a lot of other professors who base things around the competition season and do a lot of work to get students prepared and then do a lot of travel, and then he's just doing it in a different way. So there's some interesting background on him. You know, there's somebody for everybody, there's schools for everybody. And so, you know, some people I know really love that attitude, that mode. So in part one, when we talk about authenticity, I think the biggest thing is that he said that the buying process needs to be more authentic. There needs to be more authentic, transparent empathy in these conversations. And to add to that, he said that you know, kind of the reputation of sales, the way that sales is done, the way people feel about sales is a cross that we all have to carry, is what he said, where it's just the burden. We are carrying the burden of our forefathers in sales and all of the things they did, you know, just like any group would have in society, in this, in any profession, right? Think of lawyers. Most people, when they think of a lawyer, they have certain thoughts that come to mind. And so is that fair to that lawyer? Maybe not. It might be, but it's probably not. But it's the legacy of the way that the industry was, or what people think, or the misconceptions, or the movies and the TV shows. And the same thing happens to sales. And so it's the cross that we have to carry. And one way to overcome that is by doing everything you can to make yourself into a sales professional. And that's why I'm always pushing people to leverage authentic persuasion to be who they are and bring their authentic, transparent, empathetic, caring self into the conversations with the desire of helping someone get to a better place, right? Whether that's buying from them or helping point them in a better direction than buying from them specifically. Maybe it's buying something else. Maybe it's doing nothing and doing something else, like in a different direction instead. whatever that is, the goal of leaving people better than you found them. And when you do that, then you realize that sales is service. Sales is not something I'm doing to you. Sales is something I'm doing with you and for you. And that totally changes the dynamic. And when enough people do that and approach sales from that dynamic, then it will change that, right? And we will undo the legacy and the burden that's handed to everyone in sales that as a result of the past. The other part he said in the first conversation we had is using authoritative knowledge to be an expert at a topic. And then, which is, this is what I love, right? So it's not just knowledge, it's not just being an expert, but then empathy empowers. Empathy is really an empowering force when you actually care about somebody. And empathy is about, I care about you. I feel your pain at some level. I can understand your situation at some level, even if I haven't been there or gone through exactly what you're going through. And this is the important part versus sympathy. And I want to help you get to a better place. Sympathy is, oh my gosh, I feel your pain. You seem like you're having trouble. Let me come to you and sit with you in your trouble, right? It's that time when, you know, let's say you had a bad thing happen in a relationship. You have that friend that just comes over and you both wallow in the pain together. That's sympathy. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's times when you just got to do that, right? Like, this isn't about getting better right now. This is about just getting through this moment. And sympathy is okay. That is fine. In sales, though, it's not okay. In sales, the goal is to leave people better than you found them. And so in sales, it's not about, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Let me come hang out with you and let's see if, you know, maybe something will change, but otherwise, you know, let's have a relationship based on your troubles. It's, I want to empower you to move forward. I want to use empathy, which means I care about you now and getting to a better place and then moving you forward. And that's a really big difference, because when you have that kind of mindset, it actually shifts things. And when you combine that with authenticity and wanting to leave the other person in a better place, it shifts the focus away from you as a salesperson doing things because of your metrics, because of your intent, because of your needs and wants. And instead, it's about helping that other person. And then obviously finding the intersection where you get paid as well. And when that's possible, when you have somebody that has a goal or an issue that you can solve with your product or service, that's great. Now it's time to get paid when you move someone forward. So that's really important. Now, in part two was about persuasion, which is the sales process. And one of the big things he said is that he is challenging every student. The way they set up their program is he wants everyone to be elite at sales. And I think that's a good goal. I think it's important to set that bar high for people in anything you do. Like, think of a high school sports coach or, you know, some kind of activity or club. It's like, I want you to be elite. I'm going to give you everything I can for you to be elite. I think it's also good to balance with, not everyone has the desire to be elite, is going to put in the effort. And I think you can make yourself into whatever you want to do, but there's some things that will make it so that you can be elite and you can be the greatest. And then there's other things that will allow you to be good and make money and be a professional at some level, but not the greatest. For example, I am fairly tall, but I am not very coordinated. I can't dribble basketball very well. My shooting game is mostly terrible. My joke whenever I played in a league, adult league, a couple of times in my life, and my joke to my teammates is, fouls are not transferable. I'm going to use up my fouls in any way that I can to help out the team, if that's what it takes, because that's pretty much all I've got, is to be big and tall and get in people's ways. So, like, I know no matter what, I could work on a lot of different things, but will I ever be great? Will I ever play in the NBA? Probably not. And you hear that from people like, let's say, Gary Vee, where he's shorter, and it's like, no matter what, he's not going to be taller, no matter what, X, Y, and Z. So you can make yourself into whatever you want, in my opinion, to a certain point. And then there's got to be an intersection of some other talents and skills and abilities and natural born things that have to happen. With sales, I think what's great about it is that anybody can be successful in sales if they want to make themselves successful in sales. They could be elite. And I think it's important that there's programs out there training people to be elite, but not putting that pressure. I've seen a lot of people come and go in sales. And one of the things that I know is there's some people who do not want to put in the effort to be amazing or great at it. And that's okay. Every sales team is going to be made up of A, B, and C players. And then obviously there's D and F players who are on their way out. But there's a mix, and that's okay. And if you're building a sales team with only A players, superstars, elite players, you can't scale, and you're going to have a tough time because it's hard to win with only elite people. You can do it, but again, you're not going to scale. You're going to hit a max because those elite players can only do so much. And so it was interesting when he said that. It kind of triggered me a little bit to think, well, that's good. Set the bar, train people, and obviously support people. And of course, I know that he does, but it's just something that came up on my side. In that part where we talked about he's teaching people, because we talked about sales process and how do you train someone, especially in school, and he's teaching people about the individual interactions. And to start with what we can control is what he said, right? What can you control in the conversation? What can you control in the process? And that's really the key, especially with sales. Is it's about what can you control, what can you be ready for, and then you've got to be okay and ready for everything else that might happen. He did also say that from the corporate partners he has, giving them feedback is they need a seller who can go deeper and help people go from where they are now to where they want to be. And I think that's really important. It sounds simple on the surface. It sounds common sense, but it's not. There's a lot of people in sales who are on the surface. They don't go deep. They're not really fundamentally trying to figure out that potential client and what makes them tick, what their needs are, their goals, hopes, dreams, pain, issues, their struggles, their past, the past things they've attempted. Like they're just, I have this thing I'm selling. I've been told how to sell it. I know my product. I've gotten product training. Let me tell you about my product. And then is this something you want to buy, right? Because they're like, okay, the difference between a bad salesperson and a good salesperson is asking for the sale, right? That's what most people are taught. And so if I know my product and I ask for the sale, I should be successful, right? Well, that's not the case. I don't think that's ever been the case, but it's really not the case now with what buyers are looking for. And buyers being any vertical, again, it's not B2C, it's not B2B, it's H to H. And so when you combine that with what I've been saying off and on in this episode, but for a while now as well, which is leaving people better than you found them, mixed with what Joe said, which is get them from here, where they are now, to where they want to be, which would be in a better place with or without you. Once you figure that out, and then you're a part of that journey as their guide and not as the hero, game changer, right? Absolute game changer for sales. All right, now, third part, future of sales. One of the things, you know, Joe's very data-driven, and so he was all about data-based selling, right? Selling based on the data, having the facts, the figures, when it comes to proving the point and moving someone forward, right? Not just regurgitating facts and features and benefits, but data-based selling, right? In because we were talking about sales processes and what buyers want and what sellers can do. It's all about that. The other thing he said, which was interesting, is they don't want a relationship. Like the buyers don't want a relationship. And they're also not seeking a transaction. So they want something long-term, but they don't want the relationship first. When I look back at my notes here and I think about it, they don't want a relationship first. They're not looking for a relationship, a friend, a buddy. They want somebody that they know, like, and trust, as Bob Berg says, right? And then they want somebody who's a professional who's going to move them forward, and then somebody who's in it long-term. And I think this is true for everything, right? Unless you're selling a commodity that's a one-and-done and you're never going to talk to them again, or you hope that they never can find you again based on what you're selling, then it's always long-term. It's not a transaction. For most of the things that people are actually selling, it's the beginning of that relationship as a company and a customer, right? Even if you think of buying a car, right? I buy a car today. Well, you did your job as a salesperson, but now that just starts the relationship between your dealership, your brand, and myself, because now I'm gonna have this car for a long time, hopefully. And so it's the beginning of that relationship. How do I feel when I go get it fixed? If anything breaks, if everything is great, like how do I feel about it? When somebody knocks on doors and then gets somebody to buy solar panels, right? And solar setup for their house. That's the beginning. Obviously, it needs to be installed. And then there's like the long-term relationship, especially if someone got financing and especially if there's any issues. Like it's the beginning. And so it's not just a transaction. And that's what people are looking for is they don't want the transaction. They want the long-term, but they also don't need a relationship, right? In Joe's mind, they don't need more friends. They don't need more relationships. They want somebody they can trust and then not just a transaction. And then this last part here, this is what I loved most, which he said. He said, every sentence buys me the next sentence. In sales, my goal is to use this sentence to buy me another sentence in the conversation so I can keep moving forward. And on the surface, that sounds really weird, but it's so true because at any point, conversation could end, sales process could end, and it doesn't matter. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to use this moment right now to get me another moment. And we do that in relationships, we do that in courtship, we do that in other things that we do, and it's literally doing that. It's using this sentence to get me the next sentence so I can keep moving forward, so I can keep digging deeper, keep building that relationship, not like a relationship, but like at least building that bond with somebody and the trust and moving them forward and then investigating and all of that part, right? It's like if you've ever hiked a very tall mountain or a very tall hill, like whatever that means to you, I know that I have. And at some point I start looking up at the peak and going, this is a long way to go. And every time I look up, I feel further and further behind. And I look backwards and I think, have I gone anywhere yet? I'm so tired already and I don't know. And then what usually happens to me is I just look straight down. I'm just looking at my feet and I'm like one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. And if I just do that, eventually I will make it to the top. And then that's what happens, right? Every step buys me the next step, which buys me the next step, which will get me to where I'm going. Doesn't matter if it's a flat journey or climbing a mountain. If you've ever gone on a really long road trip, it's like, all right, this next mile will get me to the next mile, and eventually it will add up. Same thing in sales. Every sentence buys me the next sentence. So hopefully this recap helps. Hopefully some of my thoughts on this add to that value. Make sure to check out the episodes. And as always, make sure to follow or subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can go on there and just search Jason Cutter. All of these videos from these podcast episodes are on there, plus short clips, plus other things that I'm adding. And make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the videos when you check them out. Leave a comment. All of that kind of stuff. And if you're listening on this, on a podcast player, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. That way you get episodes 5 days a week as they come out. And thank you for being here. Appreciate it, because what it means is you're helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.